Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
The spiral never ending. Are we drawn toward the source? Spinning at the mercy of an unrelenting force. So we stare into the emptiness and fall beneath the weight.
Welcome back to 23 After the Hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate. Our websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and the one for my new book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. Martin Wolf is our guest, folks, our new friend and soon-to-be old friend. We're going to keep hanging on to him as long as he'll come back and share his wisdom with us. He's an economic commentator at the Financial Times in London. He's the author of the new book, The Shifts and Shocks, What We've Learned and Have Still to Learn from the Financial Crisis. This is just one of his many important books. Martin, I'm sure the book's available wherever books are sold.
Yes, it's published by Penguin, which is one of the biggest publishers in the world, so I'm sure it's everywhere.
It's a very important book, folks, and congratulations, Martin, on your excellent work here. We're talking about the crisis, folks. In the previous segment, Martin gave us a pretty darn good tour of what caused the financial collapse, what happened in the run-up before it, what created it. We'd gotten to the point where the government had bailed out a lot of folks. What do you think? In your book, you do the research and you quote reference other people who basically say that a pure paradox that stability destabilizes. That's what I'm saying is you say stability destabilizes. And when governments try to stabilize an economy, by definition, almost based on what you say and others, it's going to lead to destabilization. Talk to us about that.
Well, this is basically an idea of an economist who was rather disregarded before the crisis, called Hyman Minsky. And his basic idea was, if you have long periods of stability, and remember we used to talk about the Great Moderation, you will remember that idea of economists, Ben Bernanke talked about it. Well, then this is a situation in which people will take more risk because they will feel it's safe to take risk because the underlying economy is so safe. And the way they take risk, the easiest way to take risk, we've already discussed, is massively increasing leverage throughout the entire economy because it seems to give you returns without any additional risk because everything is so safe. And, of course, leverage is the classic way of earning money if you haven't got a brilliant new idea, as it were.
Right.
It's financial engineering.
It's other people's money, too.
We were all seduced by this financial engineering. Unfortunately, leverage works both ways. It's great in the boom, and it's utterly disastrous in the bust.
Right.
And that's exactly what happened.
But even now, we talked about this a little bit in the earlier segment, Martin. Even now, when small business owners are not borrowing money right now, and they're telling me in my polling of them, they're telling me that when we grow, and as we grow today, and if we plan to grow tomorrow, we're going to do it organically. We have the profits, the retained earnings, and the cash to grow quite a bit organically. You and I both know corporate America is doing that right now. They have the profits and the cash to grow organically without leverage, but they're not doing it.
That's right. It's perfectly clear that the corporate sector as a whole doesn't need to borrow. Some firms no doubt do, but it doesn't really need to borrow. Not very much, and certainly not from banks, which is a very important factor in discussing the future of the banking industry. What is it for and how does it make its living? But of course, if the corporate sector as a whole spends less than its income because it's not investing, it's accumulating cash, as it were, then someone else in the economy, by definition, has to spend more than their income. And there isn't anybody out there able to do that.
That's right.
And that's, I think, fundamentally why demand has been so weak. Because the household sector is in the same situation. The government is cutting back. Everybody's cutting back. That's why monetary policy has been so insanely loose for 6 years.
They're all just
trying to get someone to spend, and nobody wants to.
Two questions as we go to the end of the segment here. What is going to get the economy converting from this slow recovery into an expansion? What's it going to take to get to expansion level? And also, what do you see? What do you see coming down the pike that could be the next financial problem?
Well, on the The first one, I'm afraid that I basically have the view that the most likely outcome, not certain by any means, is that, particularly if I look at the world now, remember, the U.S. is part of the world economy, China's slowing, Europe is weak, you know, the big economies are in trouble. It's very difficult to see a scenario under which the U.S. gets back to the sort of growth it thought was normal, because that depended on a credit boom which I don't think can be repeated.
So you believe a lost decade is really is part of our reality?
Well, you are in a sort of, by American standards, sort of lost decade mode. Back in January 2009, I wrote in a column that the great risk is that we would all become a bit like Japan. And we're not as bad as that, but we have all become a bit like Japan, and Europe is now absolutely like Japan. And the second question you ask is, what can make a difference? I think the thing to focus on is exactly what we've been talking about, the determinants of corporate investment and the way they use their profits. I think, but it's a ludicrous, everybody knows this, a massive reform of corporate tax and tax systems, particularly in the U.S., it would be a very, very important policy step.
What would be what would be the tax implication? Are you talking about taxing passive income more or raising rates?
My view on the American on corporates is that you should tax retained earnings and expense investment.
But the problem with that is the government gets the money, then the government decides who gets that money. I would rather see the economy make that decision, not the government.
Well, that's why I said expense investment. And if they expense investment, then the government doesn't get it. They just invest more.
Well said. Oh, Martin, will you come back another day?
I will come back another day.
Thank you for being here. Martin Wolf, ladies and gentlemen. The Shifts and the Shocks is his book. Stay with us. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.